WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, September 22nd. Coming up, economist Emily Oster has written extensively about how to make decisions during the COVID-19 pandemic. She discussed that and her new book with 21st host Brian Mackey. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A court monitor recently found the Illinois Department of Corrections has failed to make some required improvements to its care of prisoners with mental illness. The agency agreed to the changes as part of a five-year-old settlement. Maureen McKinney reports.
The monitor said problems remaining include shortages in medical and custodial staffing, poor treatment of inmates on suicide watch, far too little time out of cells for prisoners in solitary, and improper medication management. Amanda Anthold is an attorney with Equip for Equality, a civil rights group for people with disabilities. She says the attorneys for the estimated 12,000 inmates are seeking to have the state held in contempt of court.
When the federal court orders any party, whether private or public, to take action to redress the violation of the law, it has to be done. And the failure to do it is outrageous.
The state has filed an appeal. A spokesman for the Corrections Department said a substantial number of improvements have been made. I'm Maureen McKinney.
September is Suicide Prevention Month, and while the number of suicides has dropped 5% over the past few years in the U.S. overall, it has increased among people of color. That includes 97 black Cook County residents who died by suicide in 2020. That's the highest single-year total in more than a decade. Parkland College sociology professor Evelyn Reynolds says, when we talk about suicide, it's important to look at social and personal context.
It makes sense to me that there would be an increase in suicide rates among black people and people of color as well. Like, that doesn't really surprise me when you think about the intensity and just kind of omnipresence of racism in our society.
Reynolds says free, accessible counseling and education could help decrease suicide rates among people of color. If you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Officials at the Refugee Center in Champaign say they're planning to accept between 5 and 10 families of Afghan refugees in the next few months. The announcement follows the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan in the wake of the United States' departure from that country last month. Center Director Lisa Wilson says her organization helps refugees register for Social Security, get public benefits, and find employment and schooling for their children. She says the center will work with local groups, including Catholic organizations, to help families with the transition.
It's a lot of work, so we're going to be asking local organizations for their assistance, whether it's volunteer your time, do you have anything you can donate to help them start their new households.
Wilson says she has faith that the people of Champaign County will work to help these families. For more information, visit the refugeecenter-cu.org. Looking at the latest COVID-19 numbers in Champaign County, a woman in her 80s was the 185th Champaign County resident to die of COVID-19. Public health officials reported 82 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases has fallen to 678. 21 Champaign County residents are currently hospitalized with COVID. More than 61% of the county's vaccine-eligible population and more than 53% of the total population are vaccinated against COVID-19. Still to come, we'll hear from Brown University economist Emily Oster about decision-making during the COVID-19 pandemic. Her conversation with 21st show host Brian Mackey is next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Dana Cronin, agriculture and environment reporter with Illinois Public Media. One of my top priorities in this role is to document how climate change is altering life in Illinois. With your support, I can continue to write about how the agriculture industry, our food system, and day-to-day life in Illinois will change over the next century. You can make a gift to support my reporting right now at willgive.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Emily Oster is an economist at Brown University, known for using data to apply rational thinking to everything from COVID risk to family matters like pregnancy and parenting. She joined the 21st show this week to discuss her new book, The Family Firm, and the COVID-19 pandemic. 21st host Brian Mackey asked Oster about a question she got from one of her newsletter subscribers about when the COVID-19 pandemic will be over.
So I kind of, there are kind of two answers in there. So one is, you know, in some ways, never. So I think that, you know, the pandemic will end, but COVID is going to be endemic for our whole lives. So, you know, I think it's hard sometimes for people to hear, but like we're not moving to a place where there's no COVID. It's just not realistic. It's not the way that coronaviruses work. That doesn't mean people are going to be getting sick in the way they are. That doesn't mean, you know, that we're not going to have vaccines, but, you know, it does mean that kind of waiting for something to happen where people have announced, okay, coronavirus is gone. It's 2018 again, you know, no COVID, like that's not realistic. But at the same time, you know, for people who are fully vaccinated, the risk of serious illness remains, you know, is very low. And for kids, even unvaccinated kids, the risks are very low. So I have a little bit of a pitch in the newsletter about, you know, there kind of will be a point at which you will need to decide to stop making this the most salient risk, the only thing you're thinking about. And that's, I mean, it's going to be hard. This is going to be a hard next phase, particularly for those of us for whom this has been such a salient risk all the time for the last, 18 months, to kind of move it into the flu bucket. That's going to be a hard transition, but it's one we're going to have to eventually make.
Yeah. And I think some people, I mean, you have faced you've been caricatured by some as, you know, being in different spots on the spectrum. I will say I've been somebody, I've appreciated your newsletter. I've read some of the critiques as well. I wonder if you can just talk about your place as an economist in thinking through these issues, as opposed to, you know, virologist or immunologist or a physician. I'm sure you're aware there's a sort of strong strain of criticism, like who is she to be weighing in on these things?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like one general thing, which is I think the idea of credentialism is not very helpful in the face of an unexpected pandemic. That in general, we probably need views from a lot of different people who bring a lot of different things to the table in order to make good decisions about this or kind of about anything else. I think what economics brings to the table is the idea of sort of trading off risks and benefits. So I spent a lot of the last year talking about schools. And actually collecting a lot of data on schools and trying to sort of work to understand the risks of COVID in schools. But part of that was motivated by the recognition that, you know, there's kind of potentially risks of opening schools, and we need to know how large those are. I think it turns out they're pretty small. But, you know, any risks that we do see there, we need to weigh against the benefits of in-person schooling and the benefits on the other side for kids of learning, of mental health and parents' employment, all this other stuff. And that there's in almost all of these choices, there's going to be some risk-benefit trade-off. And I think that's the kind of thing economists spend a lot of time talking about, which is sort of more of our purview. So, but I'm always doing stuff that's a little different than the regular.
All right. Well, if people want to check out more of Emily Oster's sort of day-to-day analysis of COVID-19 and plenty of other topics relating to parenting, check out that newsletter. It's Parent Data. It's free. Her book is The Family Firm, A Data-Driven Guide to Better Decision-Making in the Early School Years. Emily Oster, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be cloudy, breezy, and cooler today with a chance of showers and a high of 65 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Maureen McKinney, Luis Velasquez, Charisse Jones, and The 21st Show. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.